I would say, number one, be aware that you are one of 8 billion people and you are unique and you have a unique perspective of life. So if you see life as this, it's correct. It's correct for you. It's not, oh, I think the Republicans are the best. I think the Republicans are the worst. I think this, no. You look at whatever and you feel resonate with that. I say it's our sixth sense when you resonate. Because when you resonate with something, there's something for you in it. If you're indifferent to it, then don't even give it attention. If you're indifferent about politics, don't give politics an attention.
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. In this episode, we get to speak with Mikhail Magrucha. He is a strategist, multidisciplinary artist, creativity awareness educator, strategist, private, corporate, and political speaker and author. Mikhail works on raising awareness of our limitless human potential. Dyslexia, dysgraphia forced Mikhail to develop an awareness to see the world purely from a human perspective, which allowed him to survive. Today, Mikhail's unique perspective allows him to contribute to almost every topic. Mikhail is an advocate for understanding neurodiversity. Mikhail is self-taught and wrote 6 books about art and humanity, man-made systems, and human inclusivity. Creating art further taught him to understand the nuances of human-centric versus system-relevant living. In his book, The Smart of Art, Mikhail refines the misunderstanding of why 99% of artists worldwide exist around the poverty level. In over 200 guest appearances since March 2022, Mikhail talks about his journey of not being able to system navigate and how you can see every issue from a human-centric and system-relevant perspective.
Mikhail, thanks so much for taking on the time to be a guest on the podcast.
Awesome, Junaid. Thank you so much for having me and allowing me to paint on your canvas.
Sweet. Let's put this canvas on the easel, shall we? Let's take a walk through memory lane and rediscover your origin story, because I know the journey is long. You've probably come from a long background of creating the life that you currently have and living and enjoy, because that's something that people are already always wondering, hey, how did somebody go from where they were in high school or college to what makes their career? So take us to the beginning. What was the one time that made the biggest difference?
I was born in Vienna, in Austria, and I was a sick child, got to school with 7, and got the next punch in my face, which was I was extremely neurodiverse. I still am. I wrote 6 books, and I have the computer that read it to me. So I couldn't do anything. I could only escape into art, because there was no judgment, there was no segregation, nobody cares if you can deliver to the art. That's why I say it's such a wonderful thing, art creation and the community, because it doesn't matter if you an old man plays a young child or a woman plays a man or anything. It was just all, it's about the product. It's not about what, if the play is good, if the concert is good, nobody cares where you're from. And that's, I think that really represented, I see that now, that we are collaborative creator animals of nature, a species of nature.
Yeah.
And look what we do. New York, Singapore, Google, Apple, all collaborative creation. And we are unconscious of it, because it's like, oh, we have to do this to survive. No, we do this because we love to create. We love to tinker.
Love to create. Yes.
And the CEO that sits in the corner office that could afford everything, what does he do on the weekend? He's tinkering on his car, in his garden, or with friends.
Working on an art project.
And when I was 30, I looked at my resumes, and that's, you asked me for the, what was the pivotal point?
Yeah.
And there was one pivot point was when I was 30, when I looked at my resume, And I was very hard on myself. I was putting myself down and all this stuff because I couldn't fit in. I couldn't fit into anything other than art. And art was considered as it's a hobby. Unless when it comes to war, then we destroy art the first. See this? And this is why art is a hobby. But the first thing we did, wherever we are, we destroy right now. Israel, Ukraine, we destroy art the first. If it was only a hobby, why don't you pay the artists? If it was just a hobby and not just use the unique thing of commodity and say, okay, only the one that everybody wants we has value, but not the art creation, the process of communal contribution is completely ignored. And then I saw all my jobs were from a DJ to I sold tapes out of my trunk. I did fashion shows, producer. I did DJing and did videos, all kinds of stuff, advertising. Everything was creative. That's the only way I could survive. And I decided then I couldn't have been an accountant. I couldn't be a technician. I couldn't be, even if I chose that. I said, oh, it would be great to be a fireman or whatever. And I couldn't do that. So I decided on myself, I don't need anybody to tell me I'm an artist. I am an artist because I couldn't do anything else. And I think a lot of artists, because I've talked to hundreds of artists, even very famous artists, and they said they have an uncomfortable feeling calling themselves artists because they know that artists are treated like a commodity. So when you have a good, and I think today's life of an artist that gets into the limelight, it's 5 to 6 months. So you come in, you're the hottest thing, and then the next one comes. You're treated like a commodity.
Right.
And so I decided that was my first thing.
I love that. So as you're mentioning being an artist worldwide, we're focusing on the fine art artist, or are we focusing on every type of art? Like which one?
Every time, because fine art artist is only a differentiation. Because and the fine art you have, and today abstract is fine art. It's so because the system does it how it wants it. So it says fine art, right. And we conjure you and I who are not young, we conjure it was fine art is Da Vinci, Botticelli, all these artists. But any art creation is basically, I think fine art is defined today as if you get in museums, and it doesn't matter, it could be horrible things, but it's fine art.
It's the recognition of the popular public is when it becomes fine
exactly.
art.
Okay. Yep.
That's interesting. Now, if you look at art as the creativity of the human beings, I think some of the finest artists are programmers creating software. Because it requires a lot of creativity. Thinking about the software that we're using currently to record this episode, it's a creation of an artist, of a creative mind to put these things together.
Yeah, and that's a normal thing. See, it's not something abnormal. It's not. The normal thing is human need to express it. We are collaborative. There's 8 billion humans. And everybody's different fingerprints, different DNA, different eyes, and with a perspective, if you have siblings, of life that is unique. You have your, and nobody has a perspective of life then. And we pretend systemically there is a median where you fall in. And the median can only be when people adapt to it. Mm-hmm. Our superpower, third superpower, first is creativity. Second is dialogue, what we have, human dialogue, not I'm right, you're wrong. And the third is adaptability. In order to have the dialogue, you and I have to adapt. So I can't speak German with you, or you, if you have a different language, we can't speak our native languages. Right. We have to speak English to adapt. And that costs life energy. No matter if you do it, it costs energy, spirit. And the only thing why systems can actually function is because humans adapt to them. No system, because everybody's unique. Everybody's one of one. And what art does is allows you to contribute with your uniqueness. So you can be either a technician that just does whatever he was told, or you can be a technician that says, I'm going to make a new way of how podcasts look. I'm going to do whatever. And there's a difference. And when you cannot express yourself uniqueness, say, if you do exactly what you're told, then you get worse. Because people need to express themselves. It's a frustration. When you do a job all day long and you come home and you have to adapt to that job, when you come after 8 hours, I work 12 hours, 14 hours, not tired, because I express myself.
Yeah.
But if you work 8 hours, you come home, you're tired. You cannot express yourself, but you are a collaborative creator animal. You need to express yourself. Because in your expression is that technically, is that artistry, is that cooking, is what with your family, you learn about your uniqueness and why you're so special, why you're one of 8 billion people. This is not something, you're just one of one. That's systemic. You're one of 8 billion. So people want to kill themselves, kids. You tell them you're one of one. If you don't think you're special, You don't see the world the right way. You're one of one. And when you cannot express yourself uniquely, like Michael does, Janela does, when you cannot do that, you get frustrated and you get tired. Yeah. And what you're doing when you're frustrated after 8 hours, you go home, you eat, you shouldn't eat at night, you pump up and get that frustration down, and then you're so tired, because that makes you tired too. Then you put on Netflix and watch, and you consume instead of expressing.
Oh my God. That's so true. So human beings have the innate requirement to express.
Yeah.
To release all of the things that they're creating. And that's so true, because our bodies are creating new cells all of the time.
Yeah,
there's new brain cells being born every single day.
And if you don't, because you're never static, you never stop.
Right,
you always grow. So you're going in prison, you grow. I put you into a wood cabin with nothing, no dog, nothing. You're just sitting there in a wood cabin. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? You're talking to yourself. They've found specific. We are such a herd animal.
Yes,
and collaborative, because we see more when you and I talk. We see more than if I just talk to myself.
Yes.
But we can't be alone. So loneliness is a systemic word. Mm. Loneliness you feel when you think you should be with in a party, you should be with them, you should have a lot of friends. But it has nothing to do with loneliness, because you can't be lonely. It's the humans can't be lonely. They can feel the emotion of loneliness, but they can't be lonely. That's a mind construct, because you're talking to yourself. When you're lonely, you're talking to yourself. The guy in the prison, they're not lonely. They're talking to themselves.
They're talking to each other, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, Michael, you've opened some serious cans of worms over here. I don't even know which way to go.
We have a little more time.
Right, we have a little more time. We can go a little deeper on, so you've written 6 books. You've self-taught yourself and wrote these 6 books about art and humanity.
Yeah.
I'm sure that self-taught has to do with the people around you or their situations that you were put in or influences that you experienced growing up.
I have never fit in. I still don't. So what I do is, when I self-taught is, let's say I'm interested in technology, okay? Then I have, which I'm not, but then I have to say, hey, I know Junaid. He knows all this stuff with the podcasting. He knows all this stuff. Junaid, talk to me. And I have to understand. I said, no, I don't understand. You said, there's this connector with this, and I don't understand. So what is it? So I have to make common sense of what is for you totally normal. And once I make common sense, I can also teach and explain it to other people.
Right.
Because for me, it has to be in context. I need to understand the context, and I also need to understand the perspective. Because sometimes you have 15 contexts, and you just, that's what politicians do. You take the one context, about poverty, and then talk about that, but it's also perspective. You have to do multiple contexts and perspectively put them into meaning that I can understand, that I can, and then I can explain it.
Right. So you're essentially learning from, you're essentially learning from multiple sources, making it sense for yourself. So then you can talk about the knowledge that you've acquired.
Then I write a book. Or write a book. And then, and so the book that I now write is about system relevant versus human centric, human centricity. And we have created systems, and it's all based on, we can't submit to our own creations. Meaning, if you build a robot, you cannot say, robot, tell me what to do. Should I get out with, go out with this girl or with that girl? Should I make a business with this girl? Without feeding him, you can't ask something.
You have to feed them information.
Yeah. And then that's a regurgitation. That's not a thing. It's like me creating a statue and then asking this statue, is Sinead a good guy to talk to?
It's my
creation. I can't ask my own creation. That's like God coming down and said, I need to come down on earth and ask what I can learn from the humans. He doesn't need to learn anything from humans.
He doesn't need to learn anything.
You know what? Or she.
He's taught them everything.
Exactly.
They need to know to better serve God.
And that's what pray. Exactly. And that's what we do with AI. We make it, we think we created AI. It's all from our expression. And we now think it can teach us something. It can't teach us anything. So it can make us aware, but it's better to talk to you. If I get your AI and my AI, let's say what they pulled from you and me.
Right.
What do you think is better? To talk to AI or to talk to you?
Talk to the actual human. But I think what's happening is you're over generalizing what AI is. But if you think about it, AI is a culmination of knowledge from several humans. For example, let's say I'm talking to 100 physicians and their knowledge is now stored in the library. Why do we go to a library and read books from different authors?
No, I understand
the same topic. So that's what AI has enabled to do is to compile that information, make it easy, ease of access. Michael might be, you've written 6 books, you're writing more books. You might not be available for somebody, let's say in the future.
Yeah.
Right.
I understand that part of it, but how it solves your problem. It's your assistant. It's not your assistant. It will never be your assistant because assistant.
It's just an enabler. It's just
enabler for information.
Tool. Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's another tool, another piece of library. Yeah. Remember back in the days, people were like, we got to go look into the Encyclopedia Britannica, right?
Exactly.
Because it
doesn't even exist anymore.
It doesn't exist anymore because it's part of the Wikipedia, the general knowledge. Yeah. So over time, what's going to happen is the information access is going to become easier and easier. Like my kids can now ask Siri, hey, what is blah, blah, blah? And then Siri will go access information from a database and present it to them. So it's getting easier and easier accessibility to the information. But the question is, it still does not become knowledge until you actually execute and take action on that knowledge. Just like what you're doing, you've taken knowledge and information from 10, 20 different people and now creating it into a book, which is absolutely amazing.
Yeah. The thing is, I'm an observer. I really observe. I'm not thinking in my mind construct, I'm going in the world and observing every moment.
Sure.
And from that, I have my own AI, what I absorb.
Your own intelligence,
intelligent. And then I listen to you, I listen to other people. And then out of this, I said, I think this is going in deeper. I want to explore it. Like I wanted to explore in my last book, why artists make 1% of artists make money and the rest is poor worldwide. It's all over the world. It's the same. Like what we talked about before, it's like a hobby, but it is so powerful that you have to suppress it as a hobby. Mm. And then you destroy it before because you don't want artists to know that it's very powerful.
Yeah. So as you discovered the 1% of the artists are the successful ones, what are they doing differently compared
Nothing.
to They're not Zero. Doing anything differently.
Nothing. It's not a doing thing. They just, people respect bonds. It's like a commodity. The art market, I was totally blind. The art, what you and I say as the arts, is the art business. It's not because you and I wouldn't even say about artists if somebody's in the shed and just doing stuff and nobody sees the work. You see the market, the systemic stuff. And that's what brought me into system relevant and human centric. So you see this, you're creating a new bicycle. You put that bicycle out, yeah? And everybody wants that bicycle. Everybody wants the Tesla. But there was an innovation with the Tesla. But basically this electric car since 1939, yeah, is electric cars. So it's not, oh my God. When you hit the jackpot, you hit the jackpot. And very few people are like Elon that do it twice or three times. And he can't do anything. Look at Twitter.
You're right. They're using the system to make it to the next level, as opposed to most artists are not using the system to become popular. Because I have seen some really up-and-coming artists that have gone from zero to amazing level of fandom through their consistency and using the tools that are available. For example, there's this one artist, they're like, you know what? I was drawing art in my home, in my room, and my grandma loved it. And then she was like, what if I went out in the streets and just asked random people if I could paint them? Mm-hmm. And so he started doing that. And he was in New York. He would go out and he would just set up his easel and then ask just a random person, hey, do you mind if I paint you? And then as he's painting them, he's having a conversation. Then he would make this portrait. And then they were like, wow, this is so realistic. So he did that literally every single day. And then he started posting these videos that he created on TikTok. And now he has over 35 million followers. He was even able to create a portrait of the president and hand it to him. So he's like, oh my God, when I do my portrait, I want to bring you on. So he gained popularity. And because he used the system that was available, TikTok, Instagram Reels, he's able to get out of debt. He's able to get out of poverty because he used the system, but he still stayed true to the artist that he was.
There's a lot of layers in this. There's a lot of what I'm saying contextually.
Let's.
Well, number one, he used what's available, TikTok or Instagram and stuff. So he used it. Obviously, if you're not seen, you can't make it as an artist. You need to be heard or seen.
Yeah.
Because you need to have that one person, like his grandmother said,
believe in you. Yeah.
Believe in you. Because when you're two, that's why I say, when you're alone, it's better when you're two humans. And when another human honestly says, hey, what you do is good, why you don't go out? That does wonders. But what do we do in this system? We're putting people down. We say, oh, it's never going to work. It's never. And most people that make it, I was told I will never make it.
Right.
I will. And I haven't make it. I haven't make it for me. I'm happy every day, morning I wake up. Sure. And I didn't. But so there's this layer. Then there is another layer is, when you do this every day, you get deeper and deeper in yourself. So when I start writing, I couldn't write. It's not in my language, but I get better and more fluid in how I would speak it. And and you get more of your, which in technology, you the more you do it, it's not about the technology anymore. You play, you dance with technology. There's a way different, and that's the art. Art is when you dance with the medium that you use. If that's cooking, if that's technology, that's the artistry is when you start dancing with it. When you get so fluent in doing stuff that people say, oh, I went through everything, Janot, I have done everything. And you said, no, push this and it's done.
And it's done.
Because it's the experience plus dancing with the medium. And then also portraits are very easy, not easy to, but people like portraits. People like, so if I cannot do portraits, I have no skill. So you have to have a skill.
Right.
An ability that you're born with, which I don't have with my hand.
Or develop it.
Yeah. And I can't develop it because I'm my hand-eye coordination, but I can do great abstract art.
Yes.
I can do unbelievable stuff. But so there's a lot of layers in that. And I think he would have made it as anything also. There's another thing. If you are a good artist, it doesn't mean the artistry gets you. I think this guy is not giving up. That's the whole thing.
That's the thing, right? You need to keep going.
Yeah, yeah. When in hell, you know what Churchill say, when in hell, keep walking. That's what Churchill said. But I say my interpretation of it is, when in hell, keep walking in baby steps. Just keep walking, slow, little inch yourself forward when you're in hell, in crisis or whatever you say.
I love that. I love that, man. Dude, this has been some really deep conversation. Art is when you start dancing with technology, Michael.
Yeah.
How do I say your last name? Sorry.
Michael McGrooch.
Art is when you start dancing with technology. I totally love that. I'm going to put that quote, tag you in it. And because people don't realize what it really takes. And just the tiniest things can become a huge phenomenon if you really put the effort and if you have believers around you to make that a reality. Thanks so much.
But the thing is, see, there's another layer in there. It's not because you just keep at it. This is like the systemic thing. Right. You have to think gratitude. You have to have a mindset of gratitude. Mm. When you are in moment, right now, you and I, we have gratitude because we are in the moment talking to each other, and we cannot even feel, I'm not having gratitude right now. I cannot. Right. You are that naturally. But you're in a horrible situation. Oh, feel gratitude. Feel that it's not working. So
it doesn't work, no.
What I'm saying is when you stick to something, we'll blow you. When you do something, I say today, in today's, not before 20 years ago, now, when you want to do any business, when you want to do any art stuff or anything, any hospitality or whatever, you must love it. It's not a fad. Jeanette made money with technology. I'm going to do the same.
Mm-mm.
That is not a business. You have to first be very clear that this is your joy. You could do this forever. This is when you do technology and they have to pull you out and say, come eat with the family because you're tinkering, because you lose time, space. You're so into that thing. When you don't have that in any business, you can never put in the 12 hours. You can never stick with it because you're forcing yourself already, your life force, your spirit, you force yourself into it. And I'd like say, if I was your friend and I cannot paint a thing and I cannot see, because when this is your ability, his portrait, it feeds him because the universe says, that's you. So you this is with me too. I could have given up. I could have given up. But if I trusted my feeling, I trusted what satisfied me and what interested me, and art interested me. I could never have an art. I said, I can never stop looking at art before. Now I'm more, I can never study art, the creation enough. And when you don't have that feeling, don't open a business or just to make money, because money is a symptom. It's not a cause. Yeah. And 60% of Americans live paycheck by paycheck. So there's something wrong. And it's not just to do what everybody else does and push. It's finding yourself what completely satisfies you. And if that is making kids' toys, then make kids' toys. If everybody says no, you make kids' toys. Because that's what
makes you happy.
That makes you happy. And they're connected. It's not, do the horrible work, sell out, do this because there's a lot of money in it. Look at how many, I know when I grew up, everybody said, be an attorney, because attorney, you're going to be needed. Nobody, AI is the first thing that the exchange is attorneys. And all the people that were attorneys, they saw the attorneys in a movie. And they were reflecting to what is an attorney in a movie. It's like being a doctor on TV, right? There's a difference in reality.
It's a difference in reality, yeah.
Yeah. And if you got to look, what is the reality? And if that reality is really helping you.
Amen.
If that is that really feedback to you, is that resonating with you that you want to do that?
Absolutely. Michael, this has been a really enlightening conversation. Thank you so much for bringing it to the audience. I want to take a quick break, and we come back from the break. You can share three hacks for the audience that they can implement in their lives and enable them to be the artist that they are hiding from.
Finding the right guest or podcast can feel like searching for a needle in a haystack, unless you bring a magnet. And thanks to Podmatch, a service that automatically attracts your ideal interview guests to your podcast. I've enjoyed using Podmatch for Hacks and Hobbies and interviewed over 100 fantastic guests from this platform alone. Head on over to hacksandhobbies.com/podmatch to save time and find your perfect match. Check out Podmatch today. Again, go to hacksandhobbies.com/podmatch or tap on the link in the show notes.
Hey guys, welcome back to the episode. We've been talking with Michael Magruch. It's been a really delight speaking with him about the depth of art, the depth of what it takes to become an artist, how you have to do what you love to really feel empowered and not feel tired of the 9-to-5 work that you're forced to do to feed yourself. And in the green room, we were talking about how the nature has a perfect balance. When you do something good, you're rewarded with fruits. If you plant vegetable garden, you're rewarded with the fruits of those vegetables. But in real life, if you do something right, you are not rewarded, like paying your taxes, like not running the red light. If you're doing things right, you're not rewarded. And that system that you can update. Again, that's a totally different conversation that we can go deeper into. And Michael has a podcast also called the Smart of Art Podcast, where he's exposing the true value of art creation 30 seconds at a time. Really consumable, fast content. Thank you so much, Michael, for that.
The 30-second podcast is good because it's once a week. Mm-hmm. You just listen to it, and it's a quote. For me, it's not from Churchill or from anybody else.
Sure,
it's your quote. It's for me, nice. And it's all about art creation. And I would ask everyone to listen to it because it's 30 seconds, and it makes you think. It's not here to say, that's what you do. I'm never a person that say there's three steps or anything. I say, I would do this, try this. I would never say there's three steps because we are 8 billion people. Everybody is unique.
Everybody's unique. Awesome. Michael, we do want to ask you, what are the three things that we should do?
I would say, number one, be aware that you are one of 8 billion people and you are unique and you have a unique perspective of life. So if you see life as this, it's correct. It's correct for you. It's not, oh, I think the Republicans are the best. I think the Republicans are the worst. I think this. No. You look at whatever and you feel resonate with that. I say it's our sixth sense when you resonate. Because when you resonate with something, there's something for you in it. If you're indifferent to it, then don't even give it attention. If you're indifferent about politics, don't give politics any attention. Just worry about kids, worry about elderly, worry about, you don't have to do the systemic things, whatever resonates with you. And then that's the one. And then see, and I'm going to send you the graph, which is in the episode. Perhaps you can add that to the episode. System relevance versus human centric. We are a collaborative creator animal of nature. We create, we don't do anthills, we create cities, New York, Singapore, blah, blah, blah. But we are the creator, so we can change them, we can adapt them, we can update them, which is, that's what we see now. It's systems need to be updated because humans grow always. We talked about that too. Yeah. To update our system and see what's relevant. Because I always say this, when a mother has to take care of her sick child and she calls the company and says, I have to stay home. And the company says, okay, stay home. They can't say anything. It's with the law. You have to take care of the kid. But wouldn't it be when, if it was human-centric, that you call the company and says, my kid is sick. And they say, don't worry, Maria. We take care of, we can handle it. Mm. That's the way. So then the mother can actually take care of the child without feeling guilty. Because when you feel guilty that you don't go to work, you can't take care of that child. And then, so see the difference, what upsets you. Humans, that the kid is child, that the child is sick, or that you feel guilty, and then let the guilt go, because it's about the child. It's not you a human. You got to help another human. So that's one. So the C, system relevant versus human centric. And then the third one would be, creative, express yourself. And we all do that. Your father sets the table differently than your mother. Your wife sets the table differently. The glass is here. It uses the different utensil. We do constantly creative decisions. So know that art is a part of you. You cannot be not an artist. An artist is, it's like, I cannot run a marathon. Yeah, but perhaps you can run a marathon if you're trained for it. And marathon guys are there. You have all the tools, unless you're handicapped. You have the tools to run a 1K. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter a marathon. So don't say you're not an artist, because you are all creative. And I love that when super businessmen come to me and say, oh, Michael, I can't believe what you do. I can't be an artist. I said, you wouldn't call yourself a businessman if you weren't an artist. We talked before, right? It's like you're dancing with business, with finance, with people, with industry. That makes you a businessman. And people that call themselves a businessman and don't do this, they're not businessmen. They're just going through the notions. Yeah. So try to express yourself and be aware of that. Just, I like to always set the thing. I love to cook. I love to do this. I love to, even as simple as, I love to put my clothes together. And I always get something. People say, you always dress so nice. That's a resonance. That's, go in that direction. Do more. Try things out.
Right.
Because in that resolve, it doesn't mean it needs to be a perfect product. In the doing, you learn about yourself, about your uniqueness. You never need to be a fashion designer. It's just doing.
Give creation attention. I like that. And those were some powerful hacks. Thank you so much, Michael. Let's jump into our rapid fire questions that I love to ask my guests. Number one, exploring uncharted territories. Name a hobby you've always wanted to dive into but haven't yet. And why?
Explain the question, because
so the question
I
is
wanted that, something and I didn't do it. Is that what you mean?
What is
that's
one,
my neurodiversity.
Yeah. What is the one hobby that you wish you got into but never got a chance to?
Dancing.
Nice. So
like Fred Astaire dancing. Fred Astaire dancing.
Fred
Astaire. Love it. Hi, Max. But no, I always want to do experience dancing. But it's not, now it's not, I need to do it or something. I dance. I'm a dancer, but I'm not dancing
not
ballroom or something.
One.
Yeah.
It's another form of expression and you want to experience it.
I want to experience the systemic part of it. And now but then you need a real good partner and all this
right.
stuff.
There's a lot of things.
It takes a lot to get to that.
Absolutely. All right, next up. What did you want to be when you were a child?
A movie producer. Which I did. I produced with Robert Evans, who did The Godfather and the Chinatown. Yeah. That's what I wanted. I wanted to be a producer. And then I was very disappointing of what that job is. So many things. You think this is like we talked about the doctor, right? A doctor, what does a lawyer do? It's like the movies.
The movies do a lot more.
It's more, and it's not that. It's not, you're not going around on the set and yelling at everybody. Or sleeping with wonderful actresses. You basically have to be a CEO of, it's all financial. It's begging people.
That's what a producer is. They're the CEO of the movie. They're literally put all the things.
This is interesting. I wanted to do producer because I said, I'm going to get bored if I'm just a director. I wanted to talk to, that's my neurodiversity. I want to talk to the director. I want to talk to the actress. I want to talk to makeup. I want to talk to stage.
Everybody.
Everybody. And I said, I love doing that. But that is not what that job is.
Yeah? It's a lot different. Yeah. All right, next up, what is your favorite movie or TV show?
There's two, which one is still my favorite. That was Braveheart.
Mm.
And I have to see Braveheart again, but I never saw a movie twice. There's very few movies. And I'm not interested. Once I see him, I don't want to regurgitate it. Braveheart, sure. I saw like six times. And then I saw A Man and a Woman, the Lelouch film with D'Artagnan, the French film, which probably, A Man and a Woman.
Yep.
And because I thought that was another movie, which was Dreamy, what is a race car driver that is, and stuff. And so was Dreamy. It was not real, but it was certainly real because I could relate to it, to the European upbringing and whatever. So those two movies.
Nice. I like it. Now, what movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
I don't understand the question exactly.
So let's say you got to pick a movie that mm-hmm. you get to play a character in. For example, in Star Wars, you're Luke Skywalker, or in Toy Story.
Oh, identify. If I identify, see how this is exactly, this is great that this happened mm-hmm. because we look at different perspective at the same thing. You ask me a question and I have the guts to say, I don't understand versus saying, oh, I want to play Churchill. So I don't have any idols.
Sure.
Junaid, I don't have any idols. I don't want to be somebody else other than me. I just don't.
So it's almost like role playing, right? Imagining yourself on the silver screen. If you could embody a character from any movie, who would
I would probably
be?
Embody
Kissinger.
Because that's what I do now. Yeah. So
nice. Because it mirrors and contrasts with your own journey.
Yeah. Like it's that. Very, I like to advise. I don't like to coach. I like to advise. I like to talk to people. I like to guide them into, I want to not even guide them. I want to, that they run it. They meet me, they run there, I contribute to their, oh my God, I didn't even think about it. I didn't see that. Like you said, oh, that's a great bit.
Exactly.
That's what I like. That's my juice. That's my life juice.
Nice. I like it.
Because I don't know if that quote is going to help you. I don't know that.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
You don't know that. Yeah. But till they listen to it and see that perspective that you're presenting, does it make sense? All right. Next up, navigating through the world of superheroes, who's your favorite? And is there a particular trait that they possess that you wish to embody or believe you already do in your professional life?
I'm not a movie watcher. As a matter of fact, I'm not a, I love comics hero because mm-hmm. it's such a hero journey. I love the storylines, but I'm not a specialist in Spider-Man or anybody. I'm not a specialist in that. Superman. I only know Superman, Batman, Spider-Man.
Sure.
The Arrow. I don't know. I would say Superman in terms of because he's only showing up. I think what I like about Superman is he shows up when he has to. He doesn't show up all the time. He only shows when he has to.
When he's required. I like that. Last question. If your career personal journey was a board game, which one would it be?
I don't play games either. Because neurodiversity, I don't play games. What board game? I tell you what, I like sports. Mm-hmm. I like Frisbee. Because in Frisbee, there is no referee, Ultimate Frisbee. And I created one of the first clubs in Austria, the Frisbee Funkers. And board games, I can't relate to it. I never, Monopoly and stuff, I can't even understand.
Sure.
That's why I don't understand systems right now.
Understood. Michael, thank you so much for your time here on the podcast. Where can my audience find you? Where can my audience find you?
Yeah, just michaelm.com. Michael with two L's, like Michael Jackson, michaelm.com. And that's everything. There you can get in touch with me, see my music, see my painting, see my access to my 200 interviews, over 200 interviews, whatever. Just
awesome. Perfect.
Go there.
Perfect.
And we'll go and see the Smart of Art podcast, because and also you said you want to use any quote you want from that. There's a 200 quotes right now.
Yeah.
Just go through it, whatever you like best.
Nice.
Use it. Yeah.
Appreciate that. Yes, we'll be sure to include the links to your podcast and to your website on the show notes. So if people can click through and get to it real quick. Thank you again, Michael.
Pleasure, Janet. It's awesome. Awesome meeting you, and awesome giving me such a great canvas to paint. And without you, I would have not said these things that I said. And I want you to make sure.
I appreciate that, man, so much. And we'll catch you in the next episode.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this Hacks and Hobbies episode. Junaid would love to hear from you, so please leave a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts. Visit hacksandhobbies.com to find additional information on the guest today, as well as the show notes.